It's all vain, useless. It never ceases to amaze. You know, folks, they say, I want to see a miracle. You saw one today. Heaven touched earth. See, I'd like to see the blinded eyes. All of that's just an expression of God. And anytime God touches humanity, it's a miracle. The problem is we have been so accustomed being in the Pentecostal church or a part of what would be considered the Pentecostal church. We've been so accustomed to feeling His presence, and we've almost grown, I guess, hardened to it. You do understand that God doesn't have to ever speak to us again. I believe I know you well enough that you will agree with what I'm getting ready to say. After the cross, He doesn't have to do anything else. Would you agree with that statement? If He never spoke to us again, if He never moved on us again, if I never felt His presence again, if I never shed another tear, what He did for me on the cross of Calvary should have been enough. It was enough. But then He comes like He did today. I'd like to preach, but man, sometimes it's difficult. And I've been doing this about 20 years. And you try to preach, and you just want to lay down and worship and pray. I have been a time or two I tried to preach and couldn't. I just wept. But I think God's going to let me today. I love you. It's good to see you, Reva. Thank you for coming today. And the visitors we've got today, and we love each of you. If you would, let's go to Acts chapter 27. I missed you all really bad last week. And y'all did so good. Almost no phone calls. Almost no text messages. And I know some of you, I know that was hard on you. That was difficult. I'd like to have a dollar for every time somebody said, I'm going to tell Brother Lamb, and they didn't. I'd probably be in Hawaii right now. Just a little more monitor, Brother Greg. Acts chapter 27, verse 21. If you have that, please say amen. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Somebody say, I believe God. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color or incognito, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, listen to verse 31 and verse 32. Paul said to the centurion of the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Except ye abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the presence of the Holy Ghost in this house today. I thank you for the song service, the testimonies. I thank you for the preaching, exhortation. And really all of it just means that you're in the place. And so I guess I'm just going to reduce it down to this. Thank you, God, for coming in our midst and speaking to us again. There are lost people in the house that are already feeling conviction. There are saints in the house that are already feeling strength. And God, I don't want to taint this service. I would rather just have an altar call and go home. We would have to say it's been one of the greatest services. But Father, here we are. I pray, God, that you would anoint and give me unction here in action there, that you would illuminate your word, that you would reveal to us exactly what we need to know. I pray, God, that you would give me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, that I could say exactly what you'd have me to say. And God, I'll give you the glory for it.
And I pray it in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
My text today is verse 31 in particular. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And I want to talk to you about when pain becomes part of the path, or when pain becomes part of the process. You hear that statement. Anybody ever heard somebody say, no pain, no gain? You ever heard that? Yeah. Well, when you're like a bodybuilder like myself, you know, I'm building a body for sure. You go to the gym sometimes and you hear somebody say that, say, no pain, no gain. What's that mean? Because I think that's crazy. Some of y'all like pain. I don't like pain. So give me some ibuprofen. Somebody ought to shout amen right there. So give me some pain so I can get some gain. I don't like that. Brother Greg's got some back there. Well, basically what you're saying is I've lifted, and basically what happens, you lift hard. You're more or less breaking your muscles down. You're ripping them just a little. And then they build back and they build larger and stronger. And they say no pain, no gain. You got to really put some effort. I think you women probably could understand that philosophy, that concept, maybe better than us men to some degree. 9.5 months. It's a long time to carry another human inside of you. 9.5 months, you have another human inside. And really, my wife, she every now and then, she'll meet a woman that loves it. It's the greatest feeling in the world. My wife does not have that testimony. She gets sick, and there's a lot of pain. And I remember our first child, when Ariel was born, you know, a lot of these men stop saying that we having a baby. You ain't having nothing. You're going to squeeze her hand and say, come on, mama, you got it. Because I used to say, we're going to have a baby. And then she had a baby, and I said, no, I said, she had a baby today. Amen. She was my hero. I'd never seen such suffering and such agony and such pain. But you know what I remember distinctly? I remember hearing the cry of Ariel. And they took that little baby girl and laid her up on my wife's stomach. And those tears, and she was in pain and hurting, and all of a sudden, everything changed. You know, even Scripture tells us that in John 16:21. He says, a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because the hour has come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more of the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Because of pain, because of sorrow, something beautiful takes place. I was thinking about the oyster, a pearl, right? How does the oyster create a pearl? It doesn't do it out of ingenuity. It's not like it's got some apparatus that just creates. What happens is a little grain of sand, believe it or not, a grain of sand gets lodged up inside the oyster. And it begins to frustrate the oyster. It begins to irritate the oyster. And so the oyster has this incredible capacity to wrap that grain of sand up in a little fluid-like substance, and it hardens. But it's still there. And so it's still frustrating, and it's still inconveniencing the oyster, and it throws out another layer and another layer and another layer and another layer. And someone swoops that oyster up in a net, cracks it open, and says, woo, I'm rich. Why? Because there is times in our life that pain is part of the process. We don't like that. We're programmed to think exactly the opposite of that. We hate pain. We hate trouble. We hate issues. But I need to tell you, if you will allow God, it is possible to take that which frustrates you and which inconveniences you and which brings pain, and let that work to your good. How many knows Romans 8:28 says all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose? Amen. Pain is part of the process. In our text today, we're looking at the Apostle Paul. He's on his way to Rome. He's going to see Caesar Nero, which is one of the most incredible things. Caesar Nero might be the most wicked man that's ever lived. He is slaughtering Christians. He is taking them and dipping them in tar. And he is tying them on poles and raising them up and lighting them on fire. And they become human torches, the Christians. He's taking Christians and he's sewing them up in the skins of calves and lambs. And he's putting them out in the amphitheaters with the lions. And the lions are devouring the Christians because they think that they're an animal or some type of sheep or something. And the Apostle Paul has every possibility of getting away. He's in trouble now. He's being accused of heresy and blasphemy. He's sedition and all of these things. And he's in jail. He's incarcerated and could have went free. But he said, I want to talk to Caesar Nero. I want to talk to the most ruthless, wicked, and the most powerful man on the planet. I know I'm probably going to die because of it, but I want to talk to him. It's part of God's plan. God had spoke to him and said, you want to talk to Caesar. He's on a ship now. I think the number was 276. I failed to look that up, but I think there was 276 on that boat with the Apostle Paul, and they're on their way to Rome. And you know, I was reading in Acts 26:32, Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. And what I wanted to say to some of you guys is, God's will take you through some dark places. God's will can take you through some dark places. We've been programmed to believe that storms are always the devil's agents. We have been programmed to believe that anytime something negative happens, anytime something bad happens, that it's the enemy. We have been programmed to believe that when a storm comes upon us, that something is wrong. We see that in the story of Job, right? Job is a man of the Bible. God said, feared God, hated sin. He hated the enemy. He loved God, a man that was perfect. He was mature in God. But yet his comforters came around and said, Job, you had to have sinned or all this stuff wouldn't have happened. What is going on in the story? The Apostle Paul is on a ship. He's headed to Rome and a storm sets in. Euroclodon sets down on him. Storm. It's a terrible thing. It's a horrible thing. And we do ourselves more damage than the storm does. Because we have programmed ourselves that when the lightning starts flashing, the rain starts falling, the thunder starts roaring, that we've done something. That something is wrong with us. And then depression sets down upon us. Because if I were really in God, if I were really pleasing to God, if I was really walking in His presence, if I was really doing the things that I was supposed to do, all of this wouldn't be happening to me. Is anybody here able to say amen? Has a cat got your tongue? We've been programmed since the day we said hello. I mean, right off the bat, we were taught bad things happen to bad people. But I need you to know that sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. We've been taught that if the road we're on passes through a valley, it's not God's road. And because of that, we have created ourselves a major dilemma. We want an easy life. We have already decided what God's will is. We have already formulated and wrote out the path that we're going to take, and suffering has nothing to do with it. No one in this room got up this morning and planned to have pain. Nobody. No one woke up this morning and planned and put it in your calendar. You set it in your iPhone and you put it in your phone that today at 3:30, I'm going to suffer some terrible thing. Nobody does that. We do everything in our power to veer away from pain. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to go through anything. I don't want to be talked about. I don't want a storm. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to cry. I don't want to go to sleep tonight with questions. But you see, the thing about that is God's road will take you up mountains and take you through valleys. And you've got to grow up enough to say, any way you fix it, God, it's all right with me. God help us today. I wish you'd help me preach a little while. It is a reason that we don't pray more than we pray. It's a reason we don't go deeper in God, because a lot of the people under the sound of my voice right now, and I wish to God our whole church was here, is I'd like to talk to some of you. Some of you have got to a place in life that just mere survival is all that you think life is about. If I can get just enough to make it to the sun setting and the sun rising of tomorrow, then I have fulfilled my will and my calling and my purpose in God. If I can just survive,
You don't look in the mirror. You see nothing more than what you are. And you are surviving. And God never called his children to just survive. He called us to thrive. He called us to be strong and do exploits and to be powerful and to be anointed and to lay hands on the sick and to walk on water and raise the dead and say no to sin and live holy in an unholy world. God called you to be powerful today. But you're just happy to survive because the people that went before you didn't survive. You're surrounded by husbands and wives and aunts and uncles that didn't make it. They served God. They failed. They backslid. And this one got drunk and that one got high. And this one did this and he abused you and she walked out on you. And they didn't survive. And now you think it's a victory just because you're still breathing. Because your heart's still beating, that I'm victorious now because I'm surviving. But I'm telling you, there's more to you than just getting up in the morning and fixing your egg and eating an egg and making it through the day and keeping your sanity. There's more to this life than just making it by. God has called you to change your world. You've got to get a better perspective about this. So you don't seek God. You don't fast anymore than you should. You don't pray anymore because God can't use you. God can't take you higher. And because you have that type of mentality, you will not burn the midnight oil. You will not press into a ministry. You will not engage the enemy's kingdom because you're afraid that you're too weak. You're afraid you're too small. And you are. But in God, we're able. We feel like we have no higher purpose. And then there's some in this room, you know there's a higher purpose, but you believe that there's no way that it could cost that much. It couldn't cost that much. There's no way that I've got to pray that much. There's no way that I've got to be that consecrated. There's no way that I have to live that holy. There's no way that I've got to fast like that and read the Word of God like that. I want revival. I believe revival is possible. I believe it is attainable. But you're not willing to do what it takes to have it because you just can't imagine it being that pricey. We're living in an easy believism generation where Christianity shouldn't cost anything. Live any way you want to live. Go anywhere you want to go. Watch anything you want to watch. Listen to anything you want to listen to. Wear anything you want to wear. Smoke and talk and cuss and fight. And hallelujah, I'm saved. You're not saved. You're lost. The Bible tells us any man that's in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus didn't die to leave you where you're at. He died so you can become a new creation. Somebody shout amen. He didn't die so you could stay in your sin. He didn't save us in our sin. The Bible said he saves us from our sin. It'll cost you something. How in the world can we claim the same Christianity that took the lives of 10 of the apostles? One of them, John, lived as an old man, but the other ones laid their necks down. They were beheaded. They were sawn asunder. They had all kinds of things happening, and we're afraid to suffer anything. But the Bible said, God said, if you suffer with me, you will also reign with me. It's going to cost you something. And Euroclodon sat down, Acts 27:14. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclodon. Storms are coming your way. I don't care who you are. Take a deep breath. You're going to go through something. I thought this morning, you know, really, there's three ways for me to look at this. Number one, life in general is going to happen. Life happens. Somebody's going to die. I'm going to die. My babies are going to die. I pray that I go before them. Somebody's going to die. Somebody is going to lose their job and things are going to fall apart. There's something going to happen in every one of our lives. It's called life. All right? So there is a sense in which storms are coming. It rains on the just. It rains on the unjust. The sun rises, sets on the wicked, on the righteous. All right? But I'll tell you what else will bring a storm in your life. Sin will bring a storm in your life. Actions, choices, decisions, We don't like that. We don't want to talk about cause and effect. I've watched people come to this altar hundreds since we've been here, and they weren't trying to give their hearts to God. They weren't repenting. They weren't turning from their sins. They were trying to get God to bail them out of jail. They were trying to get God to get them out of the hospital. Saints of God, you don't get saved trying to stay out of hell. You get saved by coming to Jesus and saying, I have transgressed you. I have come against you, and I want you. That's all I need. That is what real salvation is about. Sin will bring about storms. I mean, come on. I'll just give you an example. You try to come in on my wife, that's going to create a storm for you. It's going to create a storm for you. A projectile is going to spit out of a barrel, probably, if God don't help me. Don't mess with my children. It's going to create a storm for you. It's a storm for me. It's a storm for you. Don't mess with my wife. Don't mess with my children. Cause and effect. If you get drunk and you get behind the wheel and you start driving and the popo gets you, don't call me, because I'm going to say good for you. I'm glad you didn't kill somebody. Stay in jail for a year. You need to be in there until you sober up. Cause and effect. And just because you come to this altar doesn't mean that you don't have the repercussions of your sins. Can I tell you something else that none of you want to hear? Doing right will also bring storms. Going the right path, doing God's will bring storms in your life. I was thinking about this morning. Brother Tommy, there's a lot of storms that I could have avoided if I had not started that first church service in Sister Miranda's guys' house, started that house service. It's a lot of pain. I could have avoided all of 2014, the pain that I suffered here all year long, if I had have not started and pioneered this church. Right? You all would agree with that, right? The hurt, the pain, the suffering, the struggle. I mean, those things, I could have alleviated all of that. But I sat down yesterday with that vision group, all right? There was 9 of us in there. And we began to talk about church and the importance of church. And there was Sister Misty, and there was Tasha, and there was Alice, and there was Kristen, and there was Brenda, and there was Carolyn Horn. 6 out of 8 had gotten saved right here on these altars. And I thought to myself, yeah, I could have avoided some storms, but where would we? My God, are you hearing me? The will of God will take you through some storms, but we don't focus on the storm. We focus on the eye of the storm. Does anybody know who the eye of the storm is? It's the one that walks on the water and says, be of good cheer. It is I've got him in my heart. I will gladly go through the storm. If another Alice Covington gets saved or Misty Rice comes to God, I'll do it all over again. Can somebody shout amen? I'm going to go through some things. 2015 has been one of the better years of my life. I love what God's doing. I love what I'm seeing. I know there's some bobbles and some things we're working through, but I'm able to see clearer than I've ever saw. God has given me more focus than I've ever had. I can see what's coming before. I've never been able to see like I see right now. I also see that there's going to be some storms come. In order for us to go where we need to go, in order for you to go where you need to go, you're going to have to get on a ship, and you're going to have to go from here to there. And I promise you, between here and there, there's going to be a Yerakbadon. It's going to rock your world, but you are not alone. I said you're not alone. There is one more powerful than the storm. Would somebody tell me what his name is? Yerakbadon comes. Here is the problem. The storm is not the problem. The storm is never the problem. It is your perspective and your interpretation of the storm. You see, what happens in our text here is they begin to, the ship is being broke up, and the mast is being broken and twisted, and the sails are no longer guiding and directing, and they're trying everything. So the Word of God said that we just took our hands off the wheel and let her drive. Let her drive. The problem is when Yerakbadon takes the wheel. I said the problem is when Yerakbadon, the storm, takes the wheel. Who is guiding your vessel? Who is guiding your vessel? When Yerakbadon takes the wheel,
We are at the mercy of sin. We are at the mercy of life. We are at the mercy of everything around us. But when we are hidden inside of God, when we are hidden inside the hand of God, nothing can pluck us out. We are safe and sound no matter what's going on. I need to ask you, have you allowed the storm to take control of your life, or do you allow God to walk on top of this thing? He will. Say, peace be still, but you gotta let him. Somebody shout amen. So I need to say to somebody, you need to stay in the boat. I want you to watch them. They're working on the ship. They park it. They undergird this ship. They put ropes around it. They're everything that they can possibly do. They get out there. They start lightening the load, and they're bailing out water. They're throwing their stuff overboard. What are they doing? They're trying to do it in their own strength. But they find out quick that this storm is more powerful than them. I know I've been saying some of these things a lot lately, and I thought about it this morning. I said, I don't really want to go in there and sound like a broken record, but I couldn't help it. This is just what God has given me. Because I've heard it my whole life that God will never allow something come upon you that you're not able to bear. That is not true. That is not true. In fact, the Bible teaches the opposite, that there are times things come upon us that we cannot bear, but God will, with the temptation, make a way to escape. There are some things that you cannot ride out. They sing, ride out your storm. I sat in churches at times, and they sang that I couldn't sing it because the storm I was in was going to kill me. It's going to kill me. It's going to kill me. Sometimes we say, oh, the Lord, God will make a way to escape. He'll punch a hole in the wall and let you get out. But when you try to do it in your own power, your own strength, you're going to go down. You're going to sink. If you're trying to hold your marriage together in your own strength, it'll never happen. It'll never be fruitful. It'll never be prosperous. It might go good for a while. Your honeymoon might be awesome, but there's going to come a point where just an earthly filial love is not going to hold you. There's got to be a bond that's more powerful. If you want to be a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, you need God in your life because a storm is coming. And if you're operating in your own power, you're going to go down. The Bible tells us in Acts 27, verse 20, and this is Luke, the Holy Ghost-filled man of God. He says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us. It sat down. It lay on us like a blanket. Couldn't get away from it. He said, I hadn't seen the sun. I hadn't seen a speck of light in the sky for days and days and days. He said, all hope that we would be saved was taken away. He didn't forfeit it. It was snatched away. So I have no hope. I'm totally and completely hopeless. Have you ever been there? Talk to me. Has anybody in this room ever been to a place where you were hopeless? Oh, I know, I know. I know we're Christians. I know we're filled with the Spirit. We speak in tongues and we run and jump and we dance. And hallelujah, anyhow. I understand all that. But there's been some times that I laid down at night and didn't want to wake up in the morning. Because I didn't know how to get out of the storm I was in. But on the other side of the ship, there's a man named Paul breaking bread and saying, be of good cheer. It's about perspective, isn't it? They sought for alternative means, and I want to move into my text now. I'm going to try to get you out of here. The Bible said in Acts 27, verse 29 through 31, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern, and they wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, they had a life raft here, a smaller boat hanging on the side. They were going to let it down. They were going to escape. And they were going to do it while nobody was watching. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except you abide in the ship, you're going to die. I can't get away from it. It's rocked me. That verse. I've tried to tell my wife over and over and over for days now. I preached to her and preached to her. I told her, I said, I wish somebody else was preaching this today because I'm not going to be able to articulate it. What is this? If you leave the ship, you're going to die. Why is that complicated, Brother Greg? Because this ship is going to be busted up. This ship is going to fall apart. In fact, this ship is falling apart. It is going to be reduced to boards. God says, stay on the boat. You cannot take an alternative route. That isn't even where I need to go. You say to me, Pastor, the ship cannot be God's will. Can't be. It's falling apart. It's crumbling around me. I just watched the sail ripped off. I just watched the mast torn. I just watched the thing fall. There floats part of the boat. It can't be God's will for me to stay in this because it's falling apart. Yes, 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 it is. Yes, it is. Shocking to me. Except you go through a shipwreck, you can't be saved. Except you go through hell, you can't be saved. Except you go through a sickness, you can't be saved. Unless you go through pain, you can't be saved. I know you want an escape route. I know you want to get in another boat and you want smooth sailing, but it's not going to happen. If you're going to survive this storm, you're going to stay right where you're at. And God is going to show you that I don't need anything but Him. It's shocking. The boat is shredded. And I'm going to tell you right now, God wanted me to speak to Revival Tabernacle today. A shredded boat is better than your life raft. A shredded boat in God's will is better than every conjured up a mechanism that you ever thought about. I'd rather be in a thing falling apart and be in the middle of His will than to be a part of something that's gloriously and powerful looking. Stay in the boat. I suppose the thing that I really need to share is God's will can be tricky. You see, I prepared this message, my brother, and I was wrong. I had to back up and I had to re-preach it again. I had prepared this sermon to preach to you that Euroclydon, them on the boat in the sea, and Euroclydon was God's will, and I was prepared to come and tell you that you are supposed to be in this storm, but then I remembered. When they were at Crete, they were docked at Crete. God said to Paul, don't leave Crete. I'm going to go a little too deep for some of you. I pray for you. And it might be so elementary, I just think it is. It wasn't God's will for them to be on a boat in the sea in the middle of Euroclydon. It wasn't. They were supposed to be at Crete, docked, and they were supposed to be on the land in a cave somewhere. They would have been safe and sound. The boats would have been busted a little bit. They would have repaired them, and they would have moved on. But God said, stay here. But they wouldn't listen, and they went on their own path. They went on their own path. And it costed them. It was not God's will. His perfect will for them to go through the storm that way. Paul tells them, stay here. They won't listen. They won't listen. And Paul stands up, Acts 27, 21. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have listened to me. You should have listened to me while the rain is falling, the lightning's flashing, the boat is rocking. Paul said, you should have listened. So if you had not have loosed from Crete, we would have not suffered this harm and this lost. You see, that's where I usually stop right there. And I rebuke you and we hold an altar and say, okay, God, this is so amazing. It's just amazing to me. Because they missed God's will at Crete. That chapter closed. It doesn't matter anymore. They're on a boat in the middle of the sea and they're going down. And Paul says under the unction of the Holy Ghost, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. They miss God's will there, but God is still talking to them here. I said they missed God's will there, but God is still talking to them here. We were taught that you got to go back to Crete to be in God's will. You can't go back to Crete. You're going to die right here. But I'm glad that God
God is not just a God in Crete. He is a God in the nasty now. When I messed up, when I went the wrong way, God is still on the water with me. I sat down in that class yesterday. I had this message in my heart. Most of it worked out before I ever came home. You say to me, my children are lost. It was not God's will for you to live in sin all those years. You should have stayed in Crete. Brother Lamb, my marriage is busted up. I know. It's not God's will. You should have stayed in Crete. But you're not in Crete. That's over. The chapter's closed. Safest place on the water, it's not Crete. It's not in the ship. It's in God's will. I said the safest place on the sea today is not Crete. You can't go back there. You can't get that marriage back. You can't get those children. You can't get the youth back. You can't get those days back. But God has let you live. He's let you live. And not only is he a God in Crete, but he can come to you now. I don't think you're getting it. I don't think I'm articulating it right. I don't think I'm saying it like I need to say. I know you feel like you're lost. I know you feel like you gave up. I know you feel like you're so broken that you'll never get back. I'm telling you, God is speaking. Even on the middle of the sea, he's saying, don't leave the ship. If you'll stay on the boat, I will save you. I want to save you. Sister Bessie said, ask me, would you come? It wasn't God's plan for you to go through this pain like this. You should have stayed in Crete, but you didn't. You're here now. And God's will doesn't work like you think it does. God is a now God. He's a right now God. I'm so glad that he didn't leave me back there. In my mind, I think about, even since I've been saved, oh God, some of the things I've done, I should have never done them. I didn't listen. And I remember as I sat away and the storm came, I started saying, I can never get back. I'll never preach. I'll never be the man God's called me to be. And I found that God is my God in the middle of mess, just like he was in Crete. The chapter's over. You're in a new chapter now. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I reach forth those things that are before, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, in God, I can draw a line. I can step across it. I miss God's will 1,000 times over there, but I'm not there anymore. I'm here. And I am committing from this point forward, I'm going to be in God's will. What I did over there may have caused me a storm now, but I'd rather be in God's will in a broken up ship than I would be on a life raft than I would be anywhere else. I need you to get this by faith. God loves you as much here as he did there, and you may have disappointed him, but God has closed that chapter. It's time to serve God now. It's time to serve him where you're at and let God do an incredible, powerful thing. Stand me across the house. So I wanted to say to you, God's will is the ultimate vessel. Just because you weren't in God's will in the last chapter doesn't mean you can't be in God's will in this chapter. Where's my family at? Bring my family, my children. Come here. This is what God has done for me. I don't have to say a word. You know I'm blessed. If you think for a moment I earned this, if you think for a moment I deserve what God's gave me, you are out of your mind. But I had to come to grips that as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions. You can start over today. Only in God. AA won't do it. NA won't do it. Only God. Only God will let you start over. Only God. You say, I'll never have that. No, you're going to have exactly what God gives you where you're at right now. You see, you got to stop doing that. You got to stop dwelling on the past. What could have been, what should have been. It doesn't matter anymore. We're past that now. We're here. And what you need to start saying is, God, here I am, a broken mess. Here I am, falling apart. But I know that if I hold on to you, even if I float to the island of Melita on a board, I'm safer on a board. I'm safer in the sea than I am in my own strength. Is there anybody hearing me today? I should have lost all of this. I should have wrecked it. I tried hard. And I can forgive anybody. I don't hold grudge. I forgive. But I have the hardest time forgiving myself. Paul is invincible. You can't kill him. Do you understand? All of this is about Paul going to Rome. He's invincible. You can't kill him. He's not fulfilled God's will yet. That's why you're still here. You know you should have been dead. You know the things that you did should have costed you. But you're still here. It's not an accident. It was but divine design. I want to pray for you. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I felt your spirit so powerfully today. I've done my absolute best.